Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. Throughout his more than 40 years of congressional service, U.S. Senator Dick Durbin saw Illinois morph from a state that both major political parties fiercely contested to one of the safest Democratic strongholds in the nation. Perhaps the biggest evidence of this political metamorphosis is how lots and lots and lots of prominent Democrats are now vying to succeed Durbin after he announced he would not run again in 2026. And while there may not be as much general election suspense in Illinois as there was when Durbin first won his Senate seat, that doesn't mean the results won't be important for the state's political future and perhaps the 2028 presidential contest. Here to preview the Land of Lincoln's 2026 election season is Brendan Moore, a State House reporter for Capital News Illinois. Brendan, welcome to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Good to be with you, Jason.
After Durbin announced his retirement, how would you characterize the reaction among Democrats in Illinois?
I would say it was expected. Durbin had waited a while. Several other prominent U.S. senators had announced their retirements before, and a lot of people were like, okay, Senator, we want to give you your space, but we also want to get our campaign started. Senator Durbin turned 80 this year. He was not expected to run for re-election, so it was very much kind of an expected retirement announcement, and a lot of candidates, as you mentioned, Jason, were ready to go to run for that seat when he announced in April.
Do you think he would have faced a serious primary challenge had he decided not to step aside? Like, he's not considered a conservative Democrat at all. I mean, I think he kind of was in the beginning of his tenure, but I could see a lot of anxious Democrats in Illinois being like, I want my turn. You've had your turn for 40 years. Like, would he have cleared the field had he run again?
I think he would have had some kind of challenge, but I don't think it would have been a serious challenge. Obviously, there's a lot of angst in the Democratic primary base right now among the grassroots wanting generational change. And obviously, there's a debate about how to contest President Trump and Republicans in Washington. Durbin took a pretty unpopular vote here with Democrats back in March when he voted to for a continuing resolution to fund the government, basically joined a handful of other Democrats, but was not popular with the base. A lot of people expected when he did that, like, okay, he's probably retiring, but he's an institutionalist, liberal but institutionalist. He probably would have had maybe a progressive and up-and-comer, ambitious person try to run. But as you know, it's very hard to run statewide in Illinois. It costs a lot of money to get on television, especially in Chicago. He probably would have cleared the field of serious contenders. Like, you would not have had a Raja Krishnamoorthy running or a Juliana Stratton running. But, you know, you maybe would have had like a state rep or a state senator maybe give it a shot. But everyone kind of expected if Durbin did run, he would have won. But obviously, he opted to retire.
So can you give us a sense of how many people have filed to run for Durbin's Senate seat? And among the candidates, who are the most serious contenders to win the March 17th primary?
I believe the number is 17. I'll have to double check that. But a lot of candidates filed. But they're still kind of parsing out the ballot. There's several candidates are expected to not be knocked off for not having enough signatures or other disqualifying demerits. But really in the Democratic primary, there's a focus on three candidates. So there's Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. There's Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton and Congresswoman Robin Kelly, who represents a district that goes from Chicago South Side to Danville. So Krishnamoorthy's really kind of staked out the front runner status in this race. He's easily raised the most money. He's been on television since July. He's spending $500,000 a week. He has the most name recognition. And it's really going to be interesting to see if Stratton or Kelly are able to put up more of a fight. I think a lot of people expected this to be more contentious, and it's kind of been sleepy so far.
Yeah, and I think I mentioned that the Democratic primary may just be the election here, primarily because the suburbs of Chicago have gone from being contested battlegrounds to these impenetrable Democratic strongholds. So how important is it going to be for Democratic candidates in this primary to win there? And do the two Chicago candidates, Stratton and Kelly, kind of have a disadvantage, even though I guess Kelly does represent some suburbs, but not the ones that may vote the most?
Yeah, I think that's been the big change in Illinois politics over the past decade or two, is the suburbs, which used to be the bedrock of the Republican Party, have really shifted from not even purple. I mean, they're blue now. They are pretty safely Democratic, and they are what, you know, will help decide this election. And, you know, Krishnamoorthy represents a lot of these suburbs in suburban Cook County, Kane County, parts of DuPage, where Democrats have really gained a big foothold over the past decade. So he may have an advantage in some of those areas, although we should not discount that the base of the Democratic Party, the most loyal supporters of the Democratic Party, are still black voters on the south and west sides of Chicago and in the south suburbs, which Robin Kelly does represent. So I think that they still have advantages with those groups. I mean, Stratton and Kelly are both black women. But I do think, too, though, that there is a concern about whether they may splinter that vote and allow Krishnamoorthy to win if he does maybe coalesce more support in the Chicago suburbs. It should also be noted that he has traveled the most of any of the candidates downstate. He, again, has a lot of money to spend on ads down here. So, you know, while downstate may not be as significant of a cog in the Democratic base in Illinois, it could, you know, help cushion in a contested primary, especially when you have several candidates that are splitting the vote.
Yeah, that was actually going to be my next question, because probably the only area of Illinois where Republicans have gained ground is Southern Illinois, including parts of the Metro East. You kind of mentioned this already. Is that going to be like a major battleground, or is this just going to be kind of an afterthought and the candidates are mainly going to be focusing on getting out the vote in the Chicago suburbs or in Chicago proper?
I think that they're going to battle for votes downstate. I mean, they're going to battle everywhere for votes, because, you know, every vote counts in this state. And again, I think that it can be a decisive factor in a primary, where, especially if you're splitting up votes in the Chicago area. It's a couple decades ago now, but the reason, you know, we had a Governor Rod Blagojevich is because he you know, did really well in downstate Illinois. You know, Paul Vallis, who later ran for mayor, did really well in the suburbs, but didn't. You had a fear of flying, didn't want to get on a plane to go downstate and campaign, and that hurt him. Even J.B. Pritzker did really well downstate in the Democratic primary in 2018. So, it's probably a pretty small number when you look at the raw vote in a Democratic primary. It's still, you know, Cook County and the collar counties are still going to be kind of where this thing is probably decided. But again, you know, if this does get to be a close race, those votes not even the rural counties, but like you do have some pockets of, you know, medium-sized cities in downstate Illinois, such as Bloomington Normal, Champaign, Urbana, obviously in the Metro East, where you have, you know, pretty strong Democratic support. And, you know, that can make a difference. And again, I think, you know, Congressman Krishnamoorthy has probably been the most visible down here, has really played up his downstate roots. He's from Peoria. He was raised there, and, you know, he's trying to tie himself to Senator Durbin, kind of saying, you know, I'm going to be kind of in the mold of Senator Durbin, representing the whole state, and you know, trying to ingratiate himself with downstate Democrats.
We're talking with Brendan Moore, a State House reporter for Capital News Illinois, about the 2026 election in the land of Lincoln. So I'm going to ask you a really blunt question. Is there any reason we should pay attention to the Republican primary for the U.S. Senate, since the GOP chances of succeeding Durbin are basically zero?
No. if we're being honest, the Democrat, whoever wins the Democratic primary is going to be very heavily favored to win the general election in November. There are six or seven candidates total that filed on the Republican side, but there's only one real serious candidate, and that's Don Tracy, who is an attorney in Springfield. He's the former state Republican Party chairman. His family owns Dot Foods based out of Mount Sterling, so he has some family money, independently wealthy. He'll probably be the nominee, but I especially in a midterm year where Republicans control the White House and a blue state like Illinois, it's very, very hard to see a Republican having much electoral success on a statewide election.
Yeah, and that was actually going to transition into Governor J.B. Pritzker's decision to run for a third term as governor. Again, I'm not trying to, like, predict elections. I typically don't do that. But given that he won by a really large margin in 2022, which was not a great year for Democrats, my question isn't if he's going to win re-election. Is he going to become the first Democrat in my lifetime to break 60% of the vote? That's actually what I'm interested in, because that's one of the weird quirks about Illinois politics. Illinois had Republican governors pretty consistently in the 1980s and 1990s who won sometimes by over 60% of the vote. And Democrats have only gotten like 55, 56. Is next year the year J.B. Pritzker may actually break the 60% mark?
I don't think so. And I say that because while Illinois is a safely Democratic state, and, you know, the northeast part of the state, you know, the Chicago suburbs, where most of the votes are, safely Democratic. As you mentioned earlier, downstate Illinois has gotten a lot more Republican. And so that has helped, I guess, kind of stave off, you know, the state from going, you know, in a direction where it is Democratic in a way like, you know, Vermont would be, you know.
Although Vermont has a Republican governor, but continue.
It's true. That is true. That's a good point. You know, he won with 54% the first time, 55% the second time. And that's kind of a generic Democratic performance in a statewide election in Illinois. Usually it's about, you know, 54, 55% for the Democrat, about 42, 43% for the Republican. I would expect a pretty similar spread because J.B. Pritzker is very popular with Democrats. He will get his people out. There are more Democrats in this state than Republicans. But at the same time, he's not very popular with Republicans, and he's kind of got middling approval ratings with independent voters. So even for being, again, a Democratic state, you know, I wouldn't say he's the most popular guy, you know, with voters overall. But then again, I think then the question is, I mean, with any, you know, incumbent running for re-election, you know, it's kind of, you know, what's the alternative? And I think a lot of people look at some of the options on the Republican side for governor, and especially in the Chicago suburbs, say, you know, that's not somebody that I can vote for.
No, the most popular Democrat who's ran for statewide was Jesse White because of the Jesse White tumblers. And that's and no one will ever beat the Jesse White tumblers. But we can talk more about that another time. Brendan Moore is a State House reporter for Capital News Illinois, and he has been covering all things Land of Lincoln for many years. And we thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, anytime.
Today's episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.